It's 12:05. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn with you. Weekdays, noon to 3.
Oh, hello.
Happy Friday.
And Diane Ducey here with us as well.
Yep.
And we've got Joanne Manister joining us, too. Joanne is known as the Science Goddess on Twitter. And Joanne does all kinds of things. She's an university online science course creator, a video science book reviewer, and a former international model who just loves science. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, and the reason we're having you on, I mean, first of all, you're very interesting, and I've always been looking for an excuse to get you on anyway. but, you know, yesterday was pretty historic. In fact, we all heard the Atlantis space shuttle make its final return.
Nose gear touchdown. Having fired the imagination of a generation, a ship like no other, its place in history secured, the space shuttle pulls into port for the last time. Its voyage at an end.
And, you know, that's so sad. But, Joanne, on July 8th, when the Atlantis went up for the final time, you were there to see the launch, right?
Right. And I was there at the press site where CNN and ABC and everybody else is there to watch it at about 3 miles away from the launch pad, which is about as close as you can get.
And I'll be posting your the link to your YouTube page where people can see your footage that you captured of Atlantis going up. And it was pretty exciting. Now, how did you end up in, front row seats for that?
Well, NASA is really great about social media. And this was what is called a NASA tweet up. And if you are on Twitter, sometimes groups of people will get together and meet because they've all met on Twitter. So that's what they have in common, whether it's a location or a particular interest. So people will get together. And in this case, NASA has offered 5. This is the 5th one. And they basically put out a call. Would you like to come tweet about the last launch, listen to astronauts, speak to important officers there at NASA. And so basically, they opened on June 1st for 24 hours. You can get on, register, sign up to go for an opportunity for this. So out of 5,500 people, I was one of 150 people chosen to be able to attend this tweet up. And they housed us in a tent the day before. We got to see where they maintain the shuttles, where they repair the shuttles, and also to actually see the shuttle on the launch pad up close, 600 meters away. It's very exciting.
Wow. I mean, that is star treatment right there.
It is. It pretty much is. The tent was even air-conditioned, which is amazing.
Gotta love those scientists. They know how to make it comfy, right?
Mm-hmm. They do. Great.
What was something, I mean, other than obviously seeing the space shuttle launch, Joanne, what was, whether it was some of the conversation you got to hear with astronauts, having with the officers to, you know, what was something that really stood out that you thought, wow, I can't believe I'm getting to see or hear this?
The thing that made the biggest impression on me as a biologist was actually this comment by the deputy director of NASA that they are thinking future astronauts are not going to be merely pilots or physicists or engineers, that they're actually looking for biologists because there's so much we need to know about how humans live in space and, you know, what do we need for plants to grow and, you know, actually how do microorganisms respond to being in zero gravity for a certain length of time. So they are running a lot of biological experiments on the ISS and on the shuttle launches, but then the fact that they actually said, no, we actually want biologists was really the most intriguing thing I had heard. So that space travel is now really open to all sorts of people.
Ah, so do you want to go into space?
No, I'm actually not even a fan of roller coasters. So. I mean, I can handle airplanes, but I don't think a space shuttle or a rocket would be very appealing to me. But, you know, if it weren't for that, I probably would just out of curiosity.
You'd go for it. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Joanne. But when we come back, just want to talk to you about, you know, your feelings and your thoughts now that the space shuttle program has ended. And then also, it's really kind of you to give us some of your time today because you're in the middle of the girls' engineering camp at the university. And so we'll talk a little bit about that, too, because you know what? Science rocks. And we need more girls and women in it, right?
Absolutely.
All right. It's 12:10 here at 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Your three-day forecast direct from the National Weather Service. First thing in the morning, then throughout the hour and throughout your busy day. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn.
And I'm Diane Ducey.
Thank you so much for joining us. We've got Joanne Manister with us as well, and you can find her on Twitter at The Science Goddess, and that's with two Ds. But you've got a lot of followers, Joanne. A lot of people are pretty excited about what you do. And Joanne was also at the last launch, the very last launch, of a space shuttle, Shuttle Atlantis. And we were just kind of talking about how cool that was for you to be able to hang out with the NASA folks. What kind of cool things did you get to bring home after that, Joanne?
Well, they did send us home with a bag of nice little goodies, including a beautiful calendar, and just lots of little fun things like astronaut food, things that were exciting for my kids. But mostly I got to bring home the experience. It was just amazing, and my favorite thing really during the launch was after we got past the pause at 31 seconds before liftoff, we were like, no, don't let it be scrubbed, was that after it took off and the light is so blinding, it's like someone's welding right in front of your eyes, but there's also that the vibrations propagate through the ground, and so everything shakes. You feel it in your body. And that does show up in my video.
Yes.
After a few seconds there, you see the entire camera shaking. So it was pretty powerful, pretty amazing. And I remember even standing the day before when we were close to the launch pad, that I was like, wow, that actually goes into space. That is incredible.
And can you believe it's over?
No, I can't, because as a little girl, of course, I was old enough to remember when the men walked on the moon, and my mom called me in and says, do you want to see men walk on the moon? And of course they said, yeah, and came running in. And I knew it was a special thing because my parents had bought a color TV a few days before. and then in elementary school, was telling us about this new rocket that would go up in space and then land like an airplane and could be reused over and over and over, and how amazing this was. And you know, then in high school, when the first shuttle finally takes off, it was such a fascination. And, you know, they wanted to make space travel sort of commonplace and, you know, like airplane travel is.
Mm-hmm.
And they did start to accomplish that, I think, you know. It's so fascinating, but now it's almost over.
I know. Well, and we have it for 30 years, and then suddenly, we're not going to do anything.
Right. Well, it was very... that, of course, the shuttles have probably only used up about half of their capacity to travel, like, so they could do, you know, another 30 years at this rate. They were hoping to have shuttles going up every week, you know, and it just didn't happen because to maintain it when it came back down was just too much work, too much money, and that is why it sort of had to go by the wayside, you know, that sending rockets up would be better and returning in the capsules.
But, you know, you had said that, you know, one of the things that was interesting was, you know, someone from NASA saying that biologists are going to be more in demand. And how are we going to study how plants are doing in space and do these scientific experiments when we don't have our own ride to get to the space station anymore?
That's right. It seems for a few years we're going to have to, you know, take off from Kazakhstan. One of the astronauts, former astronauts, actually the very first pilot, commander of the Columbia, the very first shuttle launch, he said he was not comfortable with having to rely on Russia for this, but that's probably how it's going to be for the next few years. But NASA is really looking to commercial aspects for being able to get people up there. The ISS is still there, the International Space Station.
Uh-huh.
So, but it is an end of an era. It is... sort of a loss of, it seems, American ingenuity, right?
Yeah, it does.
That our people helped build the ISS, and we've done so much to get the Hubble out into space because we were able to go back and forth and back and forth fairly simply, just not inexpensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's a shame, and, you know, it's how cool for you that you were actually able to see the very last shuttle take off and have the that, you know, front row view to be able to see it. And then now that you've been back, you've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. I mean, you can find Joanne Manister online. She's got a website, www.joannelovesscience.com.
Yeah.
And you're just, you just got a wonderful opportunity to start blogging on another pretty prominent science site, right?
Yes. So I currently have a new blog on Scientific American, which is a lot of people may actually have that magazine lying around their house or maybe used to. It's 165 years old. And, you know, they wanted to create a really strong online presence. So they recruited what they felt were, you know, interesting people to blog with a lot of different viewpoints. And my blog is actually called SciVid, P-S-I-V-I-D, sort of a sciencey take on looking at science in video and TV and film. So absolutely, I'm looking, you know, we'll feature a lot of video. We'll feature the people who make these science videos.
Wow.
But we're looking for people to comment on them. We're looking for scientists to come in and say, is the science accurate? And then TV producers, film producers to come in and say, yeah, how is the production value? And to start to learn how, what is the people are looking for when they're looking for science in video format.
Wow. Sounds fascinating.
It is. So, and I will keep Joanne Loves Science running because it has a different audience. And then the Scientific American really just deals with the science in moving format.
Okay. And then you're also, this is the last day of camp for the games, which is the annual week-long camp, Girls Adventure in Mathematics, Engineering, and Science, right?
Good. I'm glad you got that right. Yeah. So the acronym, once you spell that out, is it really is about mostly about engineering, and I am the faculty member in charge of the bioengineering portion of the camp. And this week, we have been dealing with how biomedical engineers help in diagnosing, monitoring, and treating diabetes, including look at some of the new exciting ways that could possibly be used. So we train the girls in all different techniques that a biomedical engineer might use, and then we ask them at the end of the week to come up with their own ideas.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Boy, I should, I don't know if you're, if you know the folks with the American Diabetes Association, but I should connect you with them because what you guys are doing, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's really exciting, and the camp games actually encompasses a lot of different things, material science, electrical engineering, chemical engineering, some robotics. So there's anything a young lady might be interested in learning about, we have something to offer to the Women in Engineering program here at the University of Illinois. And mine's just my portion. And we try to come up with a different topic every few years so we can get the girls enthusiastic about, you know, how does this really help people?
That's awesome.
So how can being a scientist and engineer help the world?
Well, you're doing some fantastic.
It's exciting.
Yeah, you're doing some fantastic things, Joanne. You really are. Mm-hmm. And I mean, geez, why don't you slack off a little bit more?
Very quiet. I wonder if I lost you.
What's that? Oops. I'm sorry. Here we go. I popped out a button that was very important. I was going to say you're just doing so many important and wonderful things, Joanne. I mean, geez, why don't you quit slacking off?
Exactly. Well, yeah, I do need a little more rest, and my new online course about the human genome has begun, and I'm training people who want to get a master's in teaching science. So it's pretty exciting to know that my ultimate end product for what I'm teaching there is also high school students. So the next generation, I like to make science fun for the next generation.
Well, and if you want to keep up with Joanne, and you can do so at her website, like we said before, www.joannelovesscience.com. She also tweets out a lot of interesting stuff. Just find her on Twitter at Science Goddess. And the Science Goddess, I should say.
It is Science Goddess.
Just Science Goddess. That's mm-hmm. it. And you know what? We would love to have you back. So we will keep
love
in touch
to come
with
back.
You. And you have a wonderful weekend, Joanne.
Thank you. You too. I'm glad you asked me to be on.
Connect FM.